I'm going to read just a part of this. We're going to go through it a little bit this morning. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and then it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. We'll stop right there this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, speak through me this morning. These are not my words. These are your written words right out of the Bible. Lord, I rely on your Holy Spirit to guide and direct me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, joy. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Who has joy? You know what joy? You got joy in your heart. You got joy in your heart. I remember watching the Beverly Hillbillies, and Granny Clampett had always run around singing, "I got the joy, 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 joy." You remember that? Am I the only one that's ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies? Come on. Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. You know, but you really understand what it means. You know, I think people get confused with happiness and joy, because happiness and joy are two different things, and they're really not the same. And I want to tell you, even though I have joy in my heart, I'm not happy all the time. This last week, I was not happy all this, for a couple weeks. I'm being honest. I'm just sharing with you this morning. I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life for the last few months, and it just seems like there's always some kind of drama or always some kind of thing that comes up that just really kind of gets you down. You know, whether it's something at work or whether it's something at home. You know, just when you think things are going great, the water line breaks. And then you can't find it because you get a $250 bill in the mail. And you're like, what's going on here? So you call the water company. They come out and they said, well, it's between your meter and your house. It's on you. And they drive off. And you're like, really? You know? And so, yeah. I mean, you know, so I'm not alone in this, you know. So, you know, that doesn't make you happy. Especially, you know, when you're thinking, okay, am I going to have to run a whole new water line? How much is this going to cost? It's Christmas time. You know, seriously. You know, those kind of things happen. And I know that everybody goes through those things. But, you know, being unhappy sometimes is just part of life, because we deal with these things in our life. And everybody does, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial issues. You know, I'm telling you, it's just the way it is. But it doesn't mean that that reflects the joy that you have, because God gives you that joy to persevere through these things that goes on in your life. And that's what James is saying. Consider it pure joy. It's hard to say, I consider it pure joy that my water line broke and it's going to cost me $250 or $500 to fix my water line. Especially when my bank account doesn't reflect that that's going to balance out too well. You know, especially during Christmas time. That's tough when you say, okay, what am I going to do here? I got to pay this bill. Okay? That's not very joyful when I think about it. But God gives me that peace because He says in His Word, this is what His Word says, that you're going to go through these trials, and I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to give you joy to persevere, because that's how, you know, this is what He says. Do you see what He says here? Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. You may be mature. You know, and I think sometimes we've got a lot of immature people, because they let things like this get to them to the point where they start losing their faith and they lose the joy that God can give them and bring them every day in their life. We have a lot of unhappy people. Just go. I mean, you just get out in the public. You just drive around. You can go to the store, go to Walmart, go to the shopping mall, especially this time of year. Don't, I won't use that word hate, but Black Friday. People are nuts. They really are. You don't see much love there, right? Or maturity. See, but God wants us to be mature. He wants us. He says, going through these things, it's going to mature you. It's going to mature you. It's going to let this work in your life. That's the first thing, is maturity. Let's look at Psalms. I'm just going to go through here. Let's look at Psalms 118:24. I think Verna's got it up here. I'll turn back in my Bible. Yeah, I'll find it here. Psalms 118:24 says, "The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Let us rejoice and be glad. Let's look at Philippians. We got to go back to the New Testament here. Let's look at Philippians 4:4. I know I like to bounce around a little bit, but I like to use Scripture. That's what it's about, right? It's about what God says and not about what I say. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice." Let's look at Proverbs 17:22. I'm going to bounce back here. Proverbs. I don't know if I've got that one. Did you have that one up there? "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." God wants us to be cheerful. He wants us to have joy in our life. He wants that. He wants us to be joyful. Now, how do we get joy in our life through all this stuff that goes on? First of all, we've got to have faith. Isn't that what James says here? If any of you lack, first of all, faith. Let's go to Romans 15:13. I don't want to get off track here. Romans 15:13. "I command your..." "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Trust in Him. Trust in Him. That's how you get joy, is you've got to trust Him. It's hard sometimes. You know, when you're going through all this stuff in your life, sometimes it's hard to have a little trust and say, "Okay, I know the bills are due, but I'm going to trust you that they're going to get paid." That's hard. I've been there. I don't mean to talk about it all the time, but it's something I have to talk about. You know, going through the sickness, the kidney disease that I'm going through, sometimes it's hard. I want to feel good. I want to be normal. I want to feel like I did, 6 months ago even. I want to feel like that. I want to feel like I did when I was 30, but that's not going to happen. I know that. But that's the way we feel sometimes. We want these things to happen. Things happen in our life we don't want to. We don't want to deal with. But we have to have faith and trust Him that no matter what happens through all this, that He's going to take care of us. We got to trust Him. We have faith in that. Romans, or 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. Get this up here. I'm slow. My fingers are... It says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with His inexpressible," I love that, "and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith by the salvation of your souls." Man, the inexpressible. Think about that. How can you describe the joy that God gives? Can you describe it in your life? Can you describe that? Even though you've not seen Him, you believe in Him and you feel His holy presence in your life. And that's the joy He can give you. Feeling that presence in His life is inexpressible. There's no words that can describe it. It's hard to explain it. When somebody asks you, how do you know you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? It's not the words that have come out of my mouth that say that I'm saved. I can say that. I can say a lot of things. I can tell you I'm a doctor. I can tell you I'm all these things. But how do you describe your salvation to somebody who's not saved? Who doesn't know that inexpressible joy, that feeling that is inside you, that faith that's you know that you know that you know. Come on. That's what I read. You know, there's Greek words like logos, which means the written word, right? That's the written word. And we read that. Then there's the rhema word, which is another Greek word that's taught. And the rhema word is the word that, you know, I've read Scripture, you know, I've read the Bible through and through, and I can't tell you how many times, I don't count. But there's Scriptures I'll be reading, and I've read through, you know, a book of Acts or whatever. I've read it 100 times maybe. And all of a sudden I'll be reading it, and it's like, bam, it comes up and hits you in the face. It's speaking right to you. Does that make sense? That's the rhema word to describe that. That's the Greek word. When it just comes up because it's speaking to you, that's the word speaking to you. That's inexpressible. Hear me this morning. Because I want you to understand, I want you to know what that joy is. That's what James wants. That's what Christ wants. He wants you to understand what it means to have hope, what it means to have peace, what it means to have joy, and what it means to understand His love for you and what He did. Because hundreds of years before Christ was born, it was prophesied that He was coming. This peace, this hope, this joy to a people. It was coming. They held on to that. We have it available to us right now. He has come. And we have this available to us. And we just have to be a part of it. The second thing is we got to have wisdom. We got to have wisdom. And I hit on that a little bit. That's what he talks about, James. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God for it. There's been a lot of times I pray a lot for wisdom. I really do. Because I lack a lot. But I pray all the time, God help me with this. Because I know if it comes from Him, then it's right. If I do it, I know it's going to get messed up. Because that's what I do. I'm not alone in that, I know. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I rely on that wisdom. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I always get it right. Certain situations, you know, we deal with, sometimes me, get in the way of allowing the Holy Spirit to take control. But as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more mature, as I've opened up my ears and started listening, I haven't always been this way, but the more mature I get, the more I start letting God take complete control, the more wisdom I find in my life, the more things I start understanding better, and the more things I get. Follow what I'm saying? I get it. Because I know that it only comes from God. I can say that. Things that's happened in my life, I could name hundreds of things that's happened in my life that I can say the only reason that happened the way it did is because God was in control. Amen. That's all He wants from us. He wants us to have that joy in our life. Let's look at Acts 2:28. Just a short chunk. First book. Acts 2:28. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You have made known to me, the paths of life. He shows you your path. Are you letting God lead you down that path this morning? Is He leading you there? Because that's what He wants. That's what He wants. I'm going to go on to number three, is perseveres under trial. We have to persevere under trial. It's not easy sometimes, but we have to do that. We have to stand strong. We can't give up. So many people give up in this world, and I've talked about that before. They don't have peace in their life, and they don't have hope in their life. We live in a hopeless world. I said this before, that so many people just give up. We've got so many, we got thousands and thousands and thousands of people living on the streets. Just in Carbondale alone, they have over 130 to 150 homeless people in that little community. And that's not my statistics, that's the Carbondale city statistics. They live on the street. Why? Because they've gave up. They don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. They don't understand what love is because they've never been shown it. I had a guy one time I was witnessing to, speaking to, and there was quite a group of people. There was probably 50 or 60 people. And I was telling them about how God loves them. I mean, to me, I'm innocent to that because I believe it. I believe God loves me, you know. I said, God loves you so much. He wants to do so much for you. And he stood up in the crowd and he said, how can you tell me that God loves me? I have never had anything in my life that was good. I've lived on the street. My mom and my dad was gone. My mom beat me. She was a drug addict. I've never had anything good in my life. How can you tell me that God is so good? And I got to be honest with you, it really put me back because I didn't know how to answer it. But that's the people that God came to save. That's the people that Christ came to save. All of us, He came to save. But He came to a dying, hopeless world. That really has, I've never forgot that. Really, I never forgot that. Because it makes me realize that not everybody has had the life that I've had. That's as simple as that. Not everybody. I wasn't in his lifestyle. But Christ came to save that guy and put him in the same position as me. We have to understand that. He came to give him joy, to give him peace, to give him hope. Not just me. Man, that turned me around to thinking. You know, it's not about me anymore. It's not about me. Now I'm getting off. I don't want to get off trail here, but I just had to share that. God put that on me to share this morning. But my point is, we have to persevere through trials. There's so many people that's went through so many things in their life. Whether it was financial struggles, whether it was divorce, whether it was, you know, all these things that go on in our life. I mean, there's hundreds of stories out there. You guys have stories in your life. But one thing has kept me going through the struggles that I've had is my faith in Jesus Christ and the hope that He's given, the peace that He's put in my heart, and the joy that I have even though I'm going through those things. I can still shout hallelujah. I really can. I know, I mean, whatever happens to me now, I'm mature enough now to say, whatever happens to me now, if I die today or die tomorrow, I know I'm going to heaven. I know that in my heart. And if that's just the way it is, that's the way it is. Not looking for it, but if that's what happens, my faith, my maturity is there. Number four. Let's go back to James. I'll read this. I want you to look at verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 1. It says, therefore get rid of. That's what I want to talk about. One thing you got to do is you got to get rid of a bunch of stuff in your life if you want to really have pure joy. If you really want to have pure peace in your life, if you really want to have the hope, you've got to get rid of stuff. And what he says here, he says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Amen?
Amen.
We got to get rid of stuff in our lives. Man, I'll tell you what, we were born with a lot of stuff. Every one of us was born with it. And some of us have let it be take over our lives for a long period of time. And some of us have more stuff to get rid of than others. That's just life. I mean, that's simply the truth. But every one of us have to get rid of it. You have to let it go and humbly accept Christ into your life and let Him take control. And that's where that joy and that peace and that hope comes from. Let His love show through you. Man, that's what He wants. He goes on to say right after that, He goes on to say, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I can just stop right there. But that's hard to do, isn't it? I know we're not perfect people. It's hard to always do what He says. It's hard, isn't it? Because we want to let self get in the way. And that's why it's so important that we let stuff go. We get rid of that baggage that holds us back. And we persevere through those trials. I want to look at Hebrews 12:2. Real quick, I got a couple more scripture and then we're going to go on. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Read that. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If I could leave you right now, I've got a couple more scriptures I want to share, but this is another one I could just leave you with. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what this Christmas season's all about. It's about Him. It's about fixing your eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. And listen to what it says, and for the joy. For joy, really? That He endured the cross? That doesn't seem like a joyful occasion, what He endured. But it says for joy He endured it. Just like sometimes the trials that we go through, we have to endure. That's what He's saying. Fix your eyes on Him. If you're a believer in Christ, you're going to go through these things. Not everybody's going to like you. That's what He said. Those who love Me, they hated Jesus. There are a lot of people. I mean, the people that praised Him on Palm Sunday, shouted Hosanna, turned their back on Him and crucified Him the very next week. But He knew that on Friday was going to be a dark day. But what Jesus knew, He knew this from the beginning. Before He even came, He knew what He was going to go through. He knew all these things He knew. How many of you, if you knew what was going to happen to you, some of the things that was going to happen to you in your life, the trials, the things that were going to happen, if you knew that was going to happen, what would you think? Would you try to change it? Go a different way? And he chose that. But he knew that, you know, it's just like Friday. He knew Friday was coming. But he also knew Sunday was coming. Friday was a dark day, but he knew Sunday was coming. And he rose again on the third day. That's so awesome. We have our resurrection day. We're going to share eternity with him. The trials that we go through, we have our Fridays. We have our Fridays in this life. But we have to remember that Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming for us if you're a believer in him. If you have that peace in your heart, if you have that joy in your heart, Sunday's coming for you. It's not always going to be Friday. Isaiah 35:10. Listen to this. And those the Lord rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and singing will flee away. I love that. Be no more of that sorrow stuff. Be no more of those trials. Be no more of this garbage that goes on in this world. It'll just be full of joy. Amen. Just be joy and singing. Praising his name. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. There's no division in heaven. It's all going to be a unified prayer meeting is what it's going to be. Singing and shouting and praising his name. That's what heaven's going to be. Because that's what the scripture tells us. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. One thing that always comes to my mind is the Lord's Prayer where it says, as it is in heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven. That's the way he wants us to be. That's the way he wants his church to be. It's the way he wants his people to be. He wants his people to feel like they're standing in the presence of him around the throne, praising his holy name, singing and shouting. That's what his word says. That's what he wants. He wants his people to have that joy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have peace. That's what he wants. I hope I encourage you this morning because it's not hard. Sometimes we make it harder than what it is. Because all we have to do is just trust him and have faith in him. This morning we're going to take communion, and it's an important time for believers, communion is. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We remember what he did for us. We remember this Christmas season as he came as a baby and was born. But we also, during this time, we have to remember that through all that, even from the time he came, when he was born, he knew that the cross was coming. He knew that this was going to happen. He did it for you. He did it for me.